Okay, now remember we had started week before last that I was going to read to you over the next 20 weeks 101 end time Bible prophecies. Last week we had so much going on I forgot to read the next five. So we're going to incorporate the next five into the rest of our study this week. So we're going to start off with number six. By the way, Brenda, if you have a pointer there that you can use, we'll need you to point something out on the last slide. Number six, the use of nuclear weapons anticipated. Zechariah 14:12. The neutron bomb melts or dissolves its victims just as God warned 2,500 years ago. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. This was unimaginable in Zechariah's day. Now understand here too, when God destroys this earth, he will use his power. But there's a lot of things going on that men have invented, which makes it pretty clear if man can do it, God can do everything also that he is involved with. Number seven, there would be a global cry for peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Never has there been such a concerted global effort to bring about peace at any cost as there is today. Now, a lot's going on today, and it seems to be not too obvious that people are looking for peace. But what's going on behind the scenes, you and I would probably be surprised and amazed at what's going on, that they're trying to bring peace. And it's really setting up the Antichrist. He's going to come in. He's going to stand out just like Saul did. You remember when they wanted a king? Saul stood out head and shoulders above everybody else. And they said, oh, he's wonderful. He's going to take care of us, and he's going to just bring us such wonderful things. Well, they found out that's not what happened. They'll find out with the Antichrist that's not going to happen either. Then number eight, the Antichrist would use false peace to destroy many. Daniel 8, verses 23 to 25. With all the problems facing mankind, multitudes are looking for a savior to usher in peace and prosperity without moral accountability. The Antichrist will promise the world and Israel such a peace that they follow him, but his intentions will be sinister. Number nine, in the last days, Israel would have a peace treaty in place that the Antichrist will confirm and eventually break. Daniel 9:27. Currently, the world's governments are striving for an Israeli peace treaty. Now, they want Israel to give up everything in order to have the peace, and it's hard to believe that eventually they're going to do that, but I think it's probably to the point where they have been bombed. Areas of Israel have been bombed, barred, almost, if not every day. If it wasn't for the United States of America providing them, was it the Patriot missiles that knocked down the things that they're sending over to them? If it wouldn't be for the United States of America, it would be a real disaster. That's why I've often said to you, one of the things I look for when somebody runs for president is that they back Israel. Amen. If they don't, that would be the last one I would want to vote for. Now, number 10. Damascus would be destroyed. Isaiah 17, verses 1 and 14. Jeremiah 49, verses 23 to 27. Amos 1, 3 to 5. Zechariah 9, 1 to 8. Damascus. Assyria is increasingly in the news and is extremely anti-Semitic. Many terrorist organizations have their basis in Damascus. You want to bring up that last picture. God declares that they will become a ruinous heap because they have violently taken what was not theirs. In 2007, Israel vowed to wipe Syria off the map if Syria attacked by chemical weapons. You see where Damascus is. You got the pointer there? Right there's Damascus. You see where Israel is? Down below it there, okay? Keep your ears and eyes open to some news, because it really is fulfilling Bible prophecy. And the people who don't believe the Bible don't even understand what's going on. We do, because we know what God's word says. And we know that there's coming a time. We celebrate now. Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, came in as a baby, came for the purpose of paying the price that you and I could never pay. He provided for us the salvation. It was prophesied. We're studying through, where Brother Dan's studying through the book of Genesis. Genesis, I believe it is 3:15, is the first indication that there was a promise given of a Savior that would come into this world. And he did. But guess what? When he comes back again, and we're looking for that return, when he comes back the second time, we'll be with him. Have to do much, but we'll be with him, and his coming back with a sword this time. And it won't be people putting him on a cross. He will come back, he will deliver Israel, that's his chosen people, and he will set up his throne for 1,000 years on this earth. Think about that, Al Gore. And he will set up and reign for 1,000 years. And then eventually, as we know this earth and as we know everything that's involved with it, it'll be destroyed. He will take care of that. And it'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Now that introduces us to our next study that goes along with some of the things that we are looking at as far as prophecy being fulfilled. Revelation chapter 21, if you turn in your Bibles to that. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to look today at heaven and the new Jerusalem. We'll be going through the scripture. Since you're in Revelation 21, why don't you also keep your hand there and go back to Genesis chapter 1 to start off with. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be referring to a couple scriptures in Genesis and also in Revelation to make some comparisons. Now, this I'm not stepping on any ground that Dan will have to worry about covering, and I'm duplicating. These are just things that we're going to compare. And it goes along with the message that he already has started in the book of Genesis. Human history, listen to me now, human history began in paradise. It began in paradise. Everything was just A-OK, perfect. And it was a place called the Garden of Eden. I shared with somebody the other day, I can't remember who, because I share this sometimes with many people when they ask me about Christ and about the gospel. I shared with them that people who tell them all you have to do is just do your best and just keep the Ten Commandments. And I tell everybody, let me follow you around if you think you keep the Ten Commandments. Let me follow you around for a day and point out that you missed, because it says if you just don't keep one, you're done. They're all behind you. And of course, the only thing that Adam and Eve had to do, now this doesn't say much about us as humans, does it? And when we are humans, we all came from Adam and Eve, contrary to what some of the fools say about coming from a slime pit and then monkeys. We came from Adam and Eve. And all they were told is they had access to everything in that paradise, in that garden, except one tree. Oh boy, you probably said, boy, I could handle that. If I'd have been there, I could have handled that. Could have you? I don't know. But anyhow, they failed. Couldn't even listen to God about one thing. Thank you, Adam and Eve. That's why we're where we're at now, okay? Not that you would have done any better. And it will all end in paradise, the New Jerusalem. Now, in verse 5 of Revelation 21, it says this, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Verse 6, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So, what we'll see today is simply this. What began in Genesis is brought to completion in Revelation. Isn't it interesting, but it's no surprise, that when Adam and Eve sinned and they realized, first of all, that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness, the next thing they did was they hid from God. I can only dream and only imagine with this small pea brain of mine what that would have been like for Adam and Eve to every day be able to commune with God. And he gathered with them every day, commune with them. Now, we'll know what that's all about soon when we go to spend eternity with him. But what a blessing that must have been. And now they hid. And God, by the way, he knew where Adam was hid. He knew all about it. He's sovereign. But as he walked in, he says, "Adam, where are you?" And then Adam finally said, "Well, we were naked and we hid from you." And God said, "Well, who told you you were naked?" And of course, then a little bit further down in that conversation, the blame game started. It was her. No, it was the serpent. So let's look at some comparisons here now. Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Brother Dan covered that in his beginning study. Look at Revelation 21:1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Go back to Genesis 1:16. It says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." So we see there the sun was created. Look at chapter 21 of Revelation and verse number 23. It says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." Do you remember when you were studying, perhaps, in the Old Testament, and it referred to the Shekinah glory of the Lord? Remember sometimes when people had contact with God? And one I remember distinctly, I think it was Elijah, not Elisha, I think it was Elijah. He wanted to see God. God said, "Well, you can't see me, but we'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm just going to go by, and you'll see my hinder parts." And it was amazing. It was he could hardly stand it. And then when Moses went up on the mountain, and he came down, the people couldn't even stand to look at his face, and he had to put a veil over it because of the Shekinah glory of God shining upon the people. And doesn't it tell us also Jesus Christ is the light of the world? Some of you, somewhere in the past, that light shined into your eyes and into your mind and into your heart, and you received the Holy Spirit of God. And it hasn't been right since, has it? Because of that marvelous receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. Amazing, amazing. Now go back to Genesis 1:5. And God called the night day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Revelation 22 and verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign, listen to this, forever and ever. Woo! That's enough to get Baptists to shout too, even in Pennsylvania, amen? Yeah. Then look at Genesis 1 and verse number 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Then look at Revelation 21, 1. We read that before. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea. Then look at Genesis chapter 3, and let's start reading at verse number 14. Here was the curse is announced. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Revelation 22, verse 3. Look at it. And there shall be no more curse. Revelation 22, 3. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Did you hear that? No more curse. No more curse. Move on. Go back to Genesis 3:19. Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Look at Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things, look at this, are passed away. Isn't that marvelous? Some of you that are sitting here today, now I can't really tell by your faces, but you're hurting. little aches, called Uncle Arthur. Arthritis and other things that are going on. Do you know one of these days going to have a glorified body, live with Jesus forever and serve him? No more aches, no more pain. That'll be glorious. Amen? So all of these prophecies that we're going to look at for the next 18 weeks, keep in mind that it's just building up to when Christ comes and meets us in the air and takes us out of here to be with him for eternity. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, look at chapter 3 in Genesis, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now look at Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to, look at this, to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Let's look at one more reference here. Genesis chapter 3. We already addressed this a little bit, but let's look at it again. It bears repeating. Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And then Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. My daughter on Facebook just yesterday had posted something about relatives that have gone on before. She says, I probably missed some. She had a whole list there. Some of them you knew. Mom and Dad Reif, their home in glory. Her mother, my first wife, who passed away in glory. And then just recently, her cousin finally had put on Facebook, he was putting on for a couple days now, please pray for my wife, Donna. She's in bad shape. She had COVID. So he finally put on Facebook, I have some sad news. Donna is home with the Lord. She just passed away. And I put a little note on Facebook that my daughter would see, and I guess anybody else that was going to look for it. I said, they're all missed, but they're not forgotten, and we'll see them again someday. That's wonderful, isn't it? But you know, the other part of that, it should make us even pray more and witness more, not only to our relatives and our friends, but to people that we come in contact with, that God brings across our path. You never know who God might bring your way. And you know as well as I do, every now and then, although it's not verbally, you hear, psst, talk to them. Give them a track. Anybody ever hear that? Just me? I'm sure others have. Just the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing that we need to talk to people about this wonderful news that Jesus saves. This is a perfect time of the year to talk to them about Jesus. Perfect time. We should carry tracts really all the time, but especially even now as we have the opportunity to talk to them about what Christmas really means. Now let's move on here very quickly. Now, Mary Ann and Bonnie, do you have that list that I gave you? because I'm going to need some help here on pronouncing some of these words that we're going to read about here. It talks in Revelation 21, it talks about foundations. Well, building foundations are usually underground and cannot really be clearly seen. But this one is visible. This one is different. And not only visible, but this foundation is 12 layers thick. Unbelievable. And each of the 12 foundations, can we say, is garnished with a different jewel. Now, who could come up with a foundation like that? Only God. Because he knows how to build. What does it also tell us in the Bible? There's only one foundation that can be laid as far as salvation is concerned, and that's Jesus Christ. There it is. So we want to run through these stones. And there's a picture of each one of them that's up there. Now, I'm not going to read the scripture that you'll find in Genesis 21, beginning really at verse 19. But I'm going to try to tell you about the gems that are being used here. Now, I gave them ladies the papers so they can help me pronounce some of these words, and maybe you can too. The first one is jasper, the jasper. That's going to be clear crystal. You can see it up there. Good. You have that pointer. The next one is sapphire. That's blue. They're all beautiful. The next one, now I might have a little help here. Is it chalcedony? Chalcedony? Greenish blue. Then you have an emerald, which is a deep green. Now here's one. Sardonyx, okay, white with brown streaks. Then you have sardius, that's blood red. It doesn't look blood red, but that's what that's supposed to be. And then you have, here's one now. Help me out. We just looked this up on the crystallite. Crystallite is yellow quartz. The next one is what? Beryl? That's green. Then you have topaz, yep, right? Yellowish green. Oh, here's one. Chrysoferus. Try that 10 times fast. That's apple green. Then the next one is, how you pronounce that one? What is it? Jacinth? That's close enough, Bonnie. I'll go along with you. That one is blue. And then the next one, what's that one? Amethyst. Okay, everybody knows that one except me. Purple. There you are. Those are the stones in this foundation. Now, just picture this. All of these colors represent something about the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus. Now, blue represents what in the Bible? Deity. White represents purity. Purple, that's pretty easy. That represents royalty. And I believe these foundations will also represent, and I'm going to read two scriptures that back this up. I believe that these foundations will also represent his manifold grace and his manifold wisdom. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Well, now we've mentioned that word manifold a couple times now. What does that mean? What does that signify? Manifold means multifaceted, multicolored. That's what it means. There are many different shades of the grace and the wisdom of God. It's manifold. It's manifold. Think about God. Even there's a scripture in the Old Testament that tells us, and I'm paraphrasing, His ways and His thoughts are high above our own. You know, sometimes we say, I know none of you ever said this, but sometimes I say, now, Lord, why did you let that happen? Lord, I don't understand that. And then always, somewhere down the road, whether it be days, maybe hours, maybe weeks, maybe months, I say, thank you, God, you did know better than the thoughts and the things that were going through my pea brain. Thank you for doing it that way. Amen. Amen? Now, I know nobody ever had that experience but me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I believe another primary interpretation of these foundations is they are permanent. There's permanence there. It's just like salvation. I grew up, my dad was a Methodist preacher for a number of years, and we would go around and visit the Nazarene Church, the Methodist Church, and the Holiness Church, and all of those. And you know what they all taught? That you could lose your salvation. I never really counted it, but going through those churches, growing up as a young man, I must have ran forward to the altar and got resaved 35 times. You can't lose your salvation. Now, there's another thing that's taught, too, that once you're saved, you can do whatever you want to and everything will be fine between you and God. That's not true either. Because if God, you're a child of God, God's going to do to you the same thing that my father did to me when I got out of line physically, chastised me. And God will chastise you. Why? Because He hates you? No, because He loves you. And He wants that sweet fellowship again with you. Go back to Adam and Eve. God walking through the garden. Adam, where are you at? Well, I hid from you because I'm naked. Well, they tried to cover themselves. Didn't really work. And Brother Dan covered this in his study in Genesis. There had to be a death, I believe, of a lamb that was used to clothe Adam and Eve. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And right there and then, back in the book of Genesis, is a beautiful picture of God's love. Not only for the first two human beings, but for you and I. You and I. That's marvelous. That's marvelous. That even makes us want to celebrate Christmas even bigger and better. Because of what He's done for us. And I believe, since these foundations give us the idea of permanence, and we're going to see them. Remember, they're above ground. And every time we look upon those foundations, we'll be reminded of its permanence. Not only the holy city, Jerusalem, but we'll be with God for eternity. And every time we might look at that, I'm just imagining now. And we've been looking at it for 10,000 years. We've just started. If there's a beginning and an end, which there isn't for eternity, we've just started in serving God. and think of all those things that we will leave behind, that we don't have to deal with anymore. Glorified bodies, no aches, no pains. See loved ones who have gone on before, but most of all, we'll see Jesus. And we'll serve him with all of our hearts. Amen? Let's bow our heads.